I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
What are you offering to others? Ooh, I know. Think about it a little bit there. What are you offering to others? Now, last week, Bruce gave an Easter message about how Moses' snake on a pole was a foreshadow of Jesus on the cross and how each offered healing to anyone who would just turn and trust. And although the insights were awesome and illuminating, well, today I would like to emphasize where the similarities stop. And you know what one of the biggest differences is between our Savior and a snake? Arms. It is arms. And I'm dead serious about that because arms are the instruments of outreach. And without them, you just literally can't reach out, which would be a problem for the kind of Savior that us humans need. Now, sure, a lot of our problems down here do have solutions that can be found through diligent seeking alone. But for the big ones, the big problems, well, people need their help to meet them halfway. Someone has got to reach out when what we need is out of our reach. Because some situations don't have attainable answers that are set up like a snake on a pole for us to find on our own. Some situations are made to be beyond our control to teach us to rely on the relationships that are within our reach. And that right there is where other people come in. When someone realizes that they need someone else. And I hate to break it to all of you, but you're someone else to everybody else. And some of them need you to survive. So it's kind of, you know that scene in like TV shows where the more reserved main character is out to dinner minding his own business, and then someone on the table next to him starts choking, so our reluctant hero is forced to clumsily try the Heimlich maneuver for the first time, and it's, you know, comedy ensues. It's like that. It's like that. That's our situation. Whether we want to or not, we were created with an obligation to reach out and step in when we can offer any kind of assistance. And I know this for a fact because that literally happened to me. Literally. It's true. A few years ago, I was at the youth retreat in Leavenworth at a cheese shop when one of the leaders turned beet red and stopped talking. Very uncharacteristic of this person. So I kind of smiled and I said, "What, are you choking?" And they nodded. And I said, "What? Seriously?" And then they nodded much faster. So I spun around to see if any other cheesemongers were going to be stepping in. You know, like, where's the paramedics that are buying cheese or something? And I only found a room full of blank, frozen faces. Everyone was just kind of like, what's happening? And for exactly 3 seconds, a million thoughts ran through my head. I don't know the Heimlich. I've only seen it on TV. And I was like, is this a joke? Maybe this is not real. What if I try and fail? This is going to be the story where I watch someone die like this. And then my last thought was, do I have to do it? And then something in me just grabbed him, spun him around, and started Heimlicking like there was no tomorrow. Like I was just going for it. It was not a pretty sight. I think that's, they were not believing it was real because I was just going for it. And I'm like, grab the fist and you do it. And how winded I am right now, way worse than that. I was, like panting. And halfway through, I spun around. I said, "You good now?" And he was like, And I went, "Let's get back to it." And I started lifting him off the ground. And I mean, I almost passed out just doing it now. But I almost passed out right there. I was sore for weeks. I am out of shape is the moral of this story. No, I mean, it was so sore. And right before I had nothing left, the food came out. Yeah, Landjagers. Watch out. They're tough to eat. And all I could think the whole time was, I can't believe that worked. I mean, it really happened because I had no idea what I was doing. But in hindsight, I kind of think that's why it worked. Because I wasn't the one doing it. Remember, the physical me was busy asking all these questions. Do I have to do it? What do I do? What happens? And who am I going to watch a guy die? All this scary stuff that was going on. And I was working up all this worry while someone else in me just took the action. And I think that someone was named Love because, in case you forgot who we all are, God said, let us make mankind in our image. And God is love. Amen?
Yeah.
Which means the core character of our created identity is designed to represent and then reproduce love everywhere we go. That's who we are. And furthermore, that means we require relationships to feel fulfilled. It fulfills our created identity. It's who we are. So when obvious opportunities for love arise, well, the instincts of our true identity kick in and tell us to just reach out. And although stopping someone from choking to death has got to be one of the most obvious opportunities to express the very simplest form of love, it still does echo the character of our Creator when our situation grew beyond our abilities. Because we may hate to admit this next point, but this is the truth. Each one of us is slowly having the life choked out of us by this world. Because down here, everyone who goes toe-to-toe with death alone takes the loss. Unless we reach out for a relationship with Jesus. Because he didn't just defeat his own death by evading sin. That's not what happened. He disarmed it once and for all by coming here to bring eternal life within everyone's reach. He reached down so we could reach up and get it. As Paul says, death has been swallowed up in victory. And I like to imagine he says this as kind of like taunting it. So where is your victory, O death? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because when Jesus died on that cross, he paid for sin. And he fulfilled the law, and he brought God's life-saving love to every soul willing to concede their need and receive his help. And when he froze in that pose, we were given a perfect picture of how God branches out to offer his assistance. It is with open arms, extended as an invitation to salvation. Come and get it. Come and get it. Because that right there, that is the love that is at the core of our Creator's character. And that is the image that we were created to copy. God's love branching out. Because remember, back in the Old Testament, God himself said, I am going to bring my servant the branch. And then when Jesus showed up, Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, the branch, I am sending you. Which makes us branches of the branch and begs the question, how do we branch like the branch branched? And what, believe it or not, the answer is this. We're supposed to do it like a branch. And that's literal. We're supposed to actually use a literal branch because, you know, he created this whole world. So all of this stuff finds its meaning if we just look around. That's why he said a branch. And here's how branches work, okay? First, branches establish a strong connection to their root, right? That's what they do, a strong connection to the root. And only after that, branches share their root by producing fruit. So in the same way that Jesus used his connection to God to bring God to us, we got to strengthen our connection with Jesus so we can bring Jesus to others. Which is why when Jesus was asked, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Well, Jesus replied, easy. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And then the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And all the prophets, all the law and all the prophets hang on these two commandments. I mean, the Bible could just be a brochure that you hand out. It's just, that's it. Because it only takes these two steps to branch out like the branch that we were born to be. And here's how it works. We simply love the Lord to connect to our root so that we can then love others by sharing his fruit. Same principle right there, which is why Jesus goes on. He makes it really clear. He says for the simpletons here, I am the vine, you are the branches. So in the same way that plants grow, if you remain in me, he says, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But that also means, apart from me, you can do nothing. We sure cannot. That is an absolute truth. We cannot do anything without him. That is a great picture of us every day without the Lord trying to, I got this one, Lord, you foolish, foolish humans. Because without our connection to him, we are 100% helpless human. Can I share a secret with you?
Yes.
I'm not that great.
That's no secret.
That's right. Okay, let's try that again, and then all of you make me feel better about that. Can I share a secret with you?
Yes.
Okay, not that enthusiasm. I'm not that great.
No.
Oh, no, stop it. I'm not that great. I've got more issues than National Geographic. And if I were up here on my own, none of you would want to hear what I have to say. You're only here because of my connection to someone else worth listening to. Jesus. That's it. That's the...
Bruce.
It's all right. Bruce gets the two confused all the time, too. That same... We're never going to get through this sermon, are we? It's just my connection to Bruce and Jesus. That's all that does. And that same connection is open to all of us, not the one to Bruce. That is not. That same connection to the Lord is open to all of us so that we can all have something worth sharing. That's the idea. He says, connect to me, and then you get to share me. And that right there is the goal. Because branches are all about growing and sharing. In fact, branches don't exist on their own. They don't just grow in a pile on the ground. It doesn't happen. Because a branch's whole purpose is to extend the vine. The best parts of any of us come from how connected we are to Christ. I mean, that's just a fact. So here's a truth. I mean, knowing that, this is a truth that should put you at ease if you're one of those people who's fighting to find the meaning of their life, you know, which is a lot of us. Here's the truth. You can just rest easy because your branch is meant to merely bring the fruit of the root to feed those in need. Done. That's what you're doing with your life. Just bring the fruit to feed those in need. And if you try to use any or all of your own God-given talents and gifts on yourself, you will never feel fulfilled. It can't happen because I want you to hear this very loudly and clear. Your fruit is not for you. It is for others. Okay? Apple trees don't eat apples. Grapevines don't eat grapes, and we don't feed by fulfilling our own need. A branch is satisfied by feeding others. That's our food. Because my food, said God's branch, Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me. Okay? And that's, remember, in the same image. And so likewise, we know the will of the divine vine who sent us to branch out in his image. We're told specifically, this is to my Father's glory, says Jesus, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you, right? We already did that. Now, remain in my love, because now it's your turn. And my command is this, says Jesus, love each other as I have loved you. So, you know, in other words, he's just saying, branch out to bring others God's love the way that I came to you to bring you God's love. Because only feeding others produces the love that fulfills our identity. You get that? It's for others, but it's still for us. It's just always. That's why God's so great, is it works for us. It fulfills who we are, our created purpose and identity when we get to do the thing we were created to do. And that right there is why it feels good to give, even though it means having less. And that right there is why our food is to do the will of the one who sent us. Because remember this, your fruit is just a product of your root. Okay, your root's the one that's actually producing it. So whatever you have to offer in your life is just the unique flavor that Jesus' love takes on as it passes through your branch. So, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Okay? It comes from God, which means we love because He first loved us. Right? We've established that connection and it goes through us. We are just passing it on. God is love. He goes through us and we love others. Like we said earlier, God is love. And since our image is meant to be His image, well, guess what? Our love is meant to be His love. Because with the first branch, Jesus, well, God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ. But now He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. So now, as we grow into our intended image, you know, as the love of God, we get to do what Jesus did and branch out as the open arms of God that bring that life-saving help that humans need within their reach. We can bring it to them. We get to be ambassadors of the love of God that has the power to pull everyone out of their duel with death. We get to be that arm that meets them halfway. We get to be the arms that reach out and give a spiritual Heimlich to every single person that is gasping for air as they choke on the flavorless food of this unfulfilling world. And that is awesome. What an honor that is. And what a responsibility. And that's what I want to impress that upon you this morning. Remember, that's our created purpose. It's an honor and it's our responsibility. It's our obligation. This is what we're created to do and it's fulfilling. But we got to do it because, think of it this way, every single one of you, every single one of you in this room is only here because someone at some time somehow shared God's love in a way that moved you to attend today. And just like Jesus, it only happened when they went out of their way to get out of God's way so that He could use their specific branch to entice you toward His root. And it worked. It brought you here. Somebody shared His love in such a way that it compelled you to come here. And how awesome is that? That is incredible. But the better part of that is it's your turn. You get to do the same thing now because Jesus died for all. So that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them. This is the way that Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, right? It's Christ that's living this life. The life I live now in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's my root and it's just coming through me. So is that you? Is that you? That's the goal. Are you letting Jesus use your life to offer others the love that saved you? That's what you got to do. That right there is what it means to be a branch. Because listen, you weren't saved to become a dead end. You were saved to become the beginning of another life. Which is what you get to do when you reach out and grab them. Like Jesus, it is our job to branch out and track down every single struggling soul in hopes that it'll be our specific fruit that attracts them to the root of our love. How fun is that, right? That is where the fun begins, actually. When you get to go out there, you get, you know, hunt them down and say, well, maybe this. And then sometimes they'll connect with you. And this is awesome because being an ambassador doesn't mean that you're just a go-between. You're not just a lifeless branch that's like, okay, it's His love and there's the fruit and you just stand there and do nothing. No, you're not just a go-between. You are a branch manager. You are a branch manager because like we said, it may be God's love that we grow, but it is our life that gives it that unique flavor. And so it's in the same way that the same sun and rain can grow both apples and oranges, right? It's like there's not different ingredients, sun and rain. This one makes apples, this one makes oranges. Well, in the exact same way, God's love can grow a plethora of different produce through us. So it is our job to fill our branch with our life with all the new fruit that is bound to be somebody's new favorite, right? Whatever you're making, it's for someone, because we each offer fruit that is perfectly suited to someone's appetite. And it is an awesome feeling to connect with those particular people who have a hunger for your one-of-a-kind cuisine. Because together, we create a whole crowd of fulfilled diners and satisfied servers. There's nothing better than when you get to make something you love, share it with them, and then they say, "This is delicious." Isn't that the best? It happens rarely in my house, but it's it's great. It's great in theory. But I remember this. It's kind of like back when I was a bartender. Our place was always packed because we had a very diverse staff. And all the staff, we each had our own appeal. Right? We were very different. And therefore, we each had our own regulars. You know, people who just kept coming back specifically because of a shared connection with one of us. And we had, I remember him well, it's been a while now, but we had Tanya, who was our young, flirty firecracker. And so she got all the Navy guys. Like, they came in and they're like, I'm just moving here and over in Oak Harbor. And I'm like, meet Tanya. That's how it. And then we had Jeremy, who was an easygoing, good-looking chucklehead. So he handled all the college kids. And then I was, you know me, I was me. So I got all the sarcastic smart alecks and the sassy secretaries and the sweet little grannies, who are secretly the best tippers, by the way. I love you sweet grannies. They're the ones who would come and like, they'd give you like that Christmas bonus. Like, I was just thinking of you. I was like, oh, I love you. So anyway. But my point, I say all that, my point is this. Somewhere, there is a group of regulars. They're literally dying for a taste of what you are serving, of your fruit that you're just naturally growing. And if you wouldn't walk by someone choking in a cheese shop, how can you ignore those right around you spiritually suffering when you have the power to be a branch that brings eternal life within their reach? You just can't. Right? You couldn't walk past someone who's choking. How can you do it when you see that there are people suffering around you spiritually? You just can't do it. You just have to take action. You just have to let God's love take action while you do the worrying. Remember, it's that part that's in you. Just let that take the action. Because nobody said it was going to be easy. That is, in fact, why they call it going out on a limb. But God does promise that it will be both fruitful and fulfilling. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. And let's pray about it. Father God, we love you and we thank you for sending your branch to reach out and connect us to you and your life-saving love. So Holy Spirit, we ask that you inspire us to take action by extending your love into the lives of others through our open arms. And Lord Jesus, we praise you for coming down to us and showing us how sharing our fruit fulfills our purpose when love is at the root of our lives. And to that we all said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.